Romans 1, 20 through 21. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's a lot of things that we can look at that steers up emotions in our minds and in our hearts. Art has always been one of those things. But art only imitates nature. I mean, when we look outside and we see the sun rise and we see the colors that are thrown across the sky, and they're never ever really the same. We see the cloud formations different, and sometimes we just stand in awe, and people try to capture that feeling. It's like when you're hot and you drink water and that cooling sensation comes. They try to recapture that, and they try to show it to us. God has said here that He created a world that shows His invisible attributes. I'll try to explain this going through this. I think this is a kind of a quick sermon, but it's I think it's beautiful. I don't know. Anyway, with evolution being taught to our children, who have now grown to adults and have children who are being taught evolution, this scripture is foolishness to the world. To think, and I know I have this in a few minutes, but to think that God had this empty canvas, and He looked at it, and He said, I'm going to create something. That's foolishness to the world, that a being said, a real person, a real being, a real spiritual entity, a real God said, I'm going to create something out of nothing. Evolution says that all of a sudden, this mass that had been building up over time just simply exploded, and then everything took over from there. Kind of like when you have stagnant water in a puddle that drains from your drain, and it sits there, and it never really goes away because the water is always wet, and mold starts to grow, and the water and the earth start to transform from something. And that's how evolutionists kind of see things, that something just grew from nothing. And so when we say that God created something, and that it says here that His attributes were put into creation, He looked at this and He thought, I'm going to create something. And the world says that that's foolishness. But here we look back at Genesis 1, 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So, He didn't create the water. That's symbolic there of the Holy Spirit of God. And so, here it is, this darkness. And He looks at this and He says, I'm going to create something. Would you have made a tree the way that God made a tree? We were floating down the James a couple weeks ago, and from Twin River Outfitters, they got a pretty good little deal there in Buckhannon. But by the river, you would see these trees, and the soil had been eroded away, and the root system was all hanging on the side of the riverbank like this, and it would go back into the soil, right, probably back into the waters. But the tree, it grew up straight. It knew where to grow. It grew up straight. It didn't grow hanging on the side of the riverbank growing out like this. It grew up straight. Now the harsh reality is that the tree that we see today is a little different than the tree that God created because of sin. You know why? Because that tree will one day die. If the waters seceded or they decided to reroute the river. Now, maybe not that one because it had a huge root structure, but if without things changing, that tree would die. But would you have made the world the way that God made the world if you had the opportunity? Would you have made the grass grow? Would you have made dirt turn into mud and get track it all over the place? Would you have done all this stuff? Y'all remember the guy who used to have the show on PBS? It was in the 80s or 90s, and he used to do these little happy trees. He's on the picture at the front of the bulletin. And you know, he would look at an empty canvas, and when you watched him create something, it was mesmerizing. I guess this was in the early days of cable, where they had the garden channel, and then they had the paint channel, and then they had the car channel or whatever, and they were really trying to make cable something, and this was on PBS, I believe. And then those went away, and we had superstations like TBS, and then we went back to the garden channels and stuff. But when you watch this guy, he would take an empty canvas, and he would just start running that brush and dipping and running, and all of a sudden, this figure would take place, this mountain. And he would say, and we'll put a few happy trees over here. And he would just take this little brush and he made it look so easy. He would just dip it into the green and he would dab, 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 shoo, like this, dab, 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 shoo. And all of a sudden these trees would have formed. And he called them little happy trees. And you would sit there and watch this and think, how in the world can he create this from nothing? Well, for one, he had the ability to do that. The other is that when he looked at that canvas, he saw a picture of what he wanted it to be. When God was looking down from heaven into this vast nothingness, the reason he was able to create what he did is because he saw a picture of what he wanted it to be. This is how God stood before creation, seeing an empty canvas. And he saw what he wanted that canvas to look like. He wanted a picture. He saw a picture, and he had the ability to do it. He had the ability to whip out those happy trees like that guy did. Just, and you would watch this guy paint, and you couldn't look away for a while. It was just amazing to watch him create something out of nothing. Genesis 1, 9 through 10. Then God said, "Let waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of waters He called the seas. And God saw that it was good. So here He took this vast nothing, and He started separating all of these things in the ways that we have them today. The world says this scripture doesn't prove that God had anything to do with what we see around us. Because we say this was creation. That God spoke and the light divided from the darkness. The constellations hung in the sky. And people think that that's ridiculous. That God spoke and the waters receded from the lands and the lands rose up out of the water. We're talking about a God that has control of your soul after you die. Is it really hard to believe that He spoke and mountains rose up out of the sea? We're trusting Him with our internal life. But the world doesn't see it that way. It's just foolishness to say that. They say that the mountains form by chance and that the beaches are results of gravitational pulls by the moon as the earth rotates. The gravitational pull of the moon keeps those waters from just flowing over onto the earth and covering the world back again with waters. I was at work last week, and when you're on the yard and you look west, I think I'm right about this, I think you see 12 o'clock Knob, the mountain in Salem. The way the sun hits down, it shows wildly different shades of light color green and dark color green over here, and dark green reflecting off the trees. It's almost like the guy that painted the canvas. He made it not just brush strokes of green for the mountains. You could actually see this patch of trees over here was different than this patch, and the sun would come over. And the clouds sometimes would come down, it seemed, out of the sky and would pass in front of the mountain. And the sky, blue sky, it was just so pretty. and the dark, and all this would come across the mountain. It would break up the green, and it looked like somebody painted that picture. And you know, somebody did. And if it begins to rain, you can see it pouring on the mountain before it ever gets to the people on the yard. When you're looking west on the yard, I think 12 o'clock knob is here, but the rain typically comes from this little mountain region right here that they call Turnout Mountain, and you can see it coming across, and it's coming right for us. It's amazing, and it's beautiful. But see, no amount of Scripture will convince science of the hand of God in creation. Yet I tell you that the wonder of the human imagination is captured in that creation. Because when we see things like this, we stand in awe at the beauty that nature has. And we try to reflect that in the clothes that we wear. And when we're sitting in our house, when we're looking at a white wall, we have visions of colors, that color splash here, and this will go with this. And we're trying to do the same thing that God has done in nature. He even says that you look at Solomon and you see that all that he had, but I tell you, Solomon was never arrayed like the lilies of the fields. Science searches the far reaches of the galaxy for answers to why and how. They've got telescopes that can see past where light has been shown and flying across the galaxy. And these telescopes can see into far reaches and see other clusters of stars and other galaxies and suns and stars and black holes and all this stuff. Yet in their quietest times when they need relaxation or serenity, these people who oppose God and creation, they find rest in what He has created for His Son and for us. See, scientists reject the idea that God had anything to do with us and nature. And then when they decide that they've had too much, the stress from looking into the galaxies, their eyes, and they're tired because of all the things that they've done, and they decide that they want to relax, they settle into this nature that God has put there for us. Watch. Here we see two people walking along the beach. And here we see a person sitting on the edge of a cliff looking out at the mountains. And this is where they find relaxation in what God has created for us. You see, science rejects God. And that's what we read. It said, although they knew God, they did not accept Him as God. They did not glorify Him as God. How is it that people who live near the beach, they seek refuge and they go away from the beach and they go into the mountainous regions and they sit up on the mountains like this and they just look at the huge hills that God has created, and it brings a joy to us. It brings a relaxation to us. And they say God had nothing to do with that. But they can't make the mountains. The people in the mountains, when they need relaxation, they want to head away and they go to the flatlands, to the beaches where the water, where the edge of the world is coming right at them. And they just love to sit on the beach and they love to feel the water coming in and going out. And they love that sound. But yet they reject God, and He made all of this. And they seek comfort in that. It makes them feel better, but they reject God. They say this is just an accident. Science cannot explain why people who live at the beaches return to the mountains for peace, or those who live in the mountains flee to its caves and hills and shade for the open vulnerability of wide open beaches. Science can't explain why this brings us a great joy. God has already said. He said, you see a glimpse of Me in these things. He says, I have put My heart, I have put My soul, I have put everything that I am into these pictures that I show you. And when you look at these, you can see My majesty. When you look up into the sky and you see all of the stars and all of the planets that are out there, to know how special You are, because You are the only one. You are the only ones that I created. You were the only ones that my son died for. And when you look at this, this brings you joy because you take just a small step towards me because the invisible attributes of God are found in nature. And He did this for you. See, we always wonder where God is in our life. We always wonder through the trials and through the tribulations that happen and all the pain and all the things. And when you walk out of the funeral home or you walk out of the hospital or you walk out of the delivery room and you look up and you see the sun setting in the sky. God made that just for you. There'll never be another one just like that. Now, He made it for His Son, but His Son gave that all to us. Because He said, "You will sit on my throne and you will judge the earth. You will rule the earth. You will be kings and priests of this earth." And when we look out into the vast nothingness of the night sky and the little sounds that happen, the little crickets or whatever they are, the katydids or whatever that come around certain times, they drive me crazy, but to some people, that's the sound of music. A tent out in the middle of nowhere. Not for me, but for some people. To walk along the beach. You know, it's amazing when we get ready to leave the beach. Everybody has a little ritual. You get up early in the morning, you walk along the beach to say goodbye to the beach. Bye-bye, water. And God did all this to give you a moment of peace. And the reason it gives you peace is not because of the beaches. People that live at the beaches, they run to the mountains. The people that live in the mountains, they run to the beaches. It's not what you're seeing. It's because of who made it. But they don't recognize that. The Bible says they don't recognize God and give them the glory that He deserves. He did this for you. Science cannot explain why we find comfort in getting up early on vacation. Nobody gets up early on vacation. You got to get up early the whole time in your life, every other day. But when you're on vacation, you don't need to get up early. But yet, when we're on vacation, we'll get up early to walk along the beach and say, "Bye-bye, water." We'll get up early to sit on the mountains and to watch the sun rise above the mountains. Bye-bye, mountains. We watch the sun come up on the horizon and emerge from the water or come through the trees, and it gives us such joy. Psalms 19, 1 through 4. This is why it gives us joy, and this is why the world is going to cry on Judgment Day, because they saw it. They saw it. Just like we see it. God did this for you. I know some days it rains and you look up, but we need the rain. Look around, you'll see the yellow pools of pollen land down there, how God has cleansed the earth in that area right there to pull all those impurities out. And it makes things grow. It makes the dead grass come alive. It makes flowers perk up. Nobody likes to see the rain. But some people laugh and go frolicking in the rain, acting all silly. But He says here in Psalms, He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork," the arc, visible arc of the sky. "Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." God is actually speaking to us through these sunrises and sunsets. And I don't want to get too far out there by saying this sort of thing, but I want us to understand that God is doing this, and He put His hand in this. This doesn't happen by chance. When the sun comes across and shoots those rays across the clouds, that's not happening by chance. God wanted it to look that way because He painted it that way. Just like the guy that did the happy trees. He painted it that way. And He painted it that way so when you're and you look up and you see that, you should know that there is a God. And that He's waiting on you. And that He cares about you so much that He did something this magnificent just for you. He didn't do it for the birds of the field. They don't have souls. He feeds them and He takes care of them. But do you think they look at nature and think, "Wow"? Do you think the squirrel sits on the side of the tree and cracking its nut and trying to put it in the tree thinks, man, this is a beautiful field that I got this nut from. I think I'm going to make me a home here. I like this place. The squirrel doesn't think that. The bird sitting on the wire is not waiting for somebody to come by so that he can mess with them. Or he sits and thinks, you know, I like this view. I think I'll build me a house here. That's not what the bird is thinking. At work, we have these Japanese, I don't know what they're really called. They're huge bees that are like this big, literally. And you'll see them flying around. But thank goodness they're not aggressive. They're very docile. And you'll see them flying around, and this one will be here, and then this one will come, and then this one will chase it around. And I thought maybe they were playing. You know? They're not playing. It's territorial. They're protecting their little area right there. They're not having fun. It is what God instilled in them to do what it is that they're supposed to do. The sun rises and sets, and it is beautiful because of His creation, because of you. And that's what He says here in Psalms. I'll read it again. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. All ends of the earth have beauty that God has laid out. And that's what the context here. The heavens declare the glory of God. Their line has gone out through all the earth in their words to the end of the world. What words? The heavens declare the glory of God. And so when it's hot outside and you look up at the sun, or it's cold and the sun seems to be hiding somewhere and the snow comes, God did all of this, all of these things for us. He did them for His Son. In the very beginning, He says in Genesis in chapter 1, He says that God created days and months and weeks and years for times and seasons. He brought time into the world and all of these things so that Jesus could come back one day and stop time and end all of these things. Because you know what we're not going to have on the new heaven and new earth? The Bible says there will be no sun. There will be no reason for these beautiful sunsets. There will be no reason for these things that declare the glory of God. Because you know what we will actually have? The glory of God right in front of our face. And there will be no reason for any of these things. God is involved in our life so much more than we realize or even give Him credit for. Understand that the days are painted and are set in place because God looked at that canvas and He said, this is what I want today. Some days are better than others. Some days are sadder than others. We can look at paintings that make us cry. We can look at paintings that make us laugh. We can look at paintings that make us think. All of these things God has done to let you know that He has not left you. We can't take it just that. We can't just wake up one morning and walk outside and worship God by sitting cross-legged on our field with poppies and dandelions and all. We can't do that. He tells us in Scripture that we need to be here. But He painted these days for us. Psalm says the heavens declare the glory of God. And He also says here that day unto day utters speech and night unto night reveals knowledge. You know where that comes from? Things like this. Things like what we're doing right here. Some days you will have a chance to talk to others. And you have to find out where they're at. It has to start with Jesus. People have questions. Adam and Eve, Where did Cain and Abel get their wives? There's answers to those things. But we have to start with who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says that when the Israelites were told that they had crucified the Son of God, that they had killed the one that came to save them, the Bible says that those words cut them to the heart. And when they realized they had killed the one that had come to save them, they asked, what can we do now? And He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. We hear this uttered day after day after day, Sunday after Sunday. We read through Scripture and we understand a little bit here, but we don't understand this. God has put out a call and He has signified it by nature, by these wonders that He has put into nature to show His eternal glory. I am real and I am calling you. Will you not answer? Just look around and see that I am real. I put my heart into this so that you would see me one day and you would answer this call. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?